and welcome to Program Notes for Your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2017 and 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on October 20th and 21st at 8 p.m. at Maymandy Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh, and on October 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at Memorial Hall in UNC Chapel Hill. This concert will be conducted by Grant Llewellyn. The guest soloist will be violinist Benjamin Beelman. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony comes on stage to perform Orava, a work by Wojciech Kilar. And that will be followed by the Violin Concerto in E minor, Opus 64, by Felix Mendelssohn. Then, following the intermission, the symphony returns to the stage to perform the Pastoral Symphony, Ludwig van Beethoven's Symphony No. 6 in F major, Opus 68. Now I'll begin our reading of symphony notes. First, an introduction to the guest soloist. Benjamin Beelman is recognized as one of the fastest rising stars of his generation, winning praise both for his passionate performances and deep, rich tone, which the Washington Post called mightily impressive, and the New York Times described as muscular with a glint of violence. Following his first prize win at the Montreal competition, the Strad described his performance of the Sibelius Violin Concerto as pure poetry. Highlights of Mr. Beelman's 2017-18 season include performances with the Houston Symphony, the Oregon Symphony, of course the North Carolina Symphony, the Indianapolis Symphony, and Orchestra St. Luke's, as well as a multi-city tour of California, play directing the New Century Chamber Orchestra in a program including Bach, Stravinsky, and Andrew Norman. Mr. Beelman has received several prestigious awards, including a Borletti Buitoni Trust Fellowship, an Avery Fisher Career Grant, and a London Music Masters Award. In 2010, he won the first prize in the Young Concert Artists International Auditions. And as first prize winner of the 2010 Montreal International Musical Competition and winner of the People's Choice Awards, Beelman recorded Prokofiev's Complete Sonatas for Violin on the Analecta label in 2011. Then in 2016, he released his first disc for Warner Classics titled Spectrum, featuring works by Stravinsky, Janáček, and Schubert. Mr. Beelman plays the Engelmann Stradivarius from 1709, generously on loan from the Nippon Music Foundation. And now the symphony comes on stage to perform Orava by Wojciech Kilar. Kilar was born July 17, 1932, in Lviv, Poland, which is now part of the Ukraine. He died in December 29, 2013, in Katowice, Poland. The work Orava was composed in 1986. The first performance was March 10, 1986, in Zakopane, Poland. Wojciech Michiewski was the conductor. Now here is the overview. The name Wojciech Kilar may not be familiar to many American listeners, but anyone who has seen Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, Jane Campion's The Portrait of a Lady, or Roman Polanski's Death and the Maiden, or The Ninth Gate, has heard his music after scoring his first movie in his native Poland in 1958. Kilar contributed to more than 150 feature films and television shows while maintaining a parallel career as one of his country's most respected concert composers. Kilar was born on July 17, 1932, in Lviv, Poland, studied piano and composition at the Katowice Academy, 1950-55, and the State Higher School of Music in Krakow, from 55 to 58. before winning a grant from the French government to study with Nadia Bollinger in Paris. He returned home to teach at the Katowice State College of Music and to join Krzysztof Penderecki, Henry Gorecki, Tadeusz Baird, and others in charting the path that made Polish music some of the most daring and experimental being composed anywhere during the 1960s. Well, despite his forays into serialism, extended vocal and instrumental techniques, and other avant-garde practices, Kilar's works always displayed simple structures, immediacy of expression, and an influence in Polish folk music. And those qualities gained increasing prominence in his music after the late 1960s, when he began devoting much of his creative energy to writing for the cinema. Many of his works after that time testify to his religious belief. In 1981, he scored a television documentary about Pope John Paul II titled From a Far Country, or his fascination with the spirit and music of the Tatra Mountains, which straddle Poland's southern border. Among Kilar's numerous international distinctions were the Lily Bollinger Memorial Fund Award of Boston, Jerzy Zawski's Foundation Award of New York, a Polish State Award Grade I, or Grade I, that is, two awards from the Polish Minister of Culture, Prize of the Polish Composers Union, an ASCAP Award for his score for Bram Stoker's Dracula, and Grand Cross of the Order of Polonia Restituta. Now here is what to listen for in this work. The title of Kilar's Orava, according to Andrzej Cipecki, the leading authority in the composer's music, is a word derived from a Highlander term for a slope in the Podhale region of the Tatra Mountains, centered around the southern town of Zakopane, where the grass has been scythed. When the grazing season is over, the remaining grass is cut down, and the slope thus prepared becomes a place for celebrating the end of the shepherd's work with music and dancing. The folk essence of Orava is inherent in the short, small interval phrases of its melodic material. The driving repetitive nature of its rhythms and the sonorous open interval quality of its harmonies. These elements are presented simply and without ornament at first, but are whipped into an increasing frenzy as the work progresses. The final pages of the score bear the performance instructions furioso or furicissimo until a final shout from the orchestra caps this evocation of a harvest time celebration in Poland's most rugged and most beautiful region. The instrumentation for this work is purely strings. The next work to be performed in this concert by the North Carolina Symphony is the Violin Concerto in E Minor, Opus 64 by Felix Mendelssohn. Born February 3, 1809 in Hamburg, Mendelssohn died November 4, 1847 in Leipzig. The work was composed in 1844, the first performance March 13, 1845 in Leipzig. Ferdinand David was the violinist and Niels Gutta was the conductor. Now here's the overview. I would like to compose a violin concerto for next winter, Mendelssohn wrote in July 1838 to his friend, the violinist Ferdinand David. One in E minor keeps running through my head, and the opening gives me no peace. It was for David that Mendelssohn planned and wrote his only mature violin concerto. Their friendship began when the two first met at about the age of 15, while the young violinist was on a concert tour through Germany. They were delighted to discover the coincidence that David had been born only 11 months after Mendelssohn in the same neighborhood in Hamburg. Mendelssohn, who admired both the man and his playing, saw to it that David was appointed concertmaster of the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra when he became that organization's music director in 1835. Now, they remained close friends and musical allies. When Mendelssohn's health was feeble, David looked after much of the routine activity of the Gewandhaus, where he spent 37 years, and he even stepped in to conduct the premiere of Mendelssohn's oratorio, St. Paul, when the composer was stricken during a measles epidemic in 1836. Despite his good intentions and the gentle prodding of David to complete his violin concerto, Mendelssohn did not get around to serious work on the score until 1844. He had been busy with other composition and conducting projects, and it was not until he resigned from the post in 1844 that he was able to complete the piece. Now here's what to listen for. The concert opens with a soaring violin melody whose lyricism exhibits a grand passion tinged with restless, romantic melancholy. Some glistening passage work for the violinist leads through a transition melody to the second theme, a quiet, sunny strain shared by woodwinds and soloist. More glistening arabesques from the violinist and a quickened rhythm close the exposition. The succinct development section is largely based on the opening theme. In this concerto, Mendelssohn moved the cadenza forward from its traditional place as an appendage near the end of the first movement to become an integral component of the structure, here separating the development from the recapitulation. It leads seamlessly into the restatement of the movement's theme. The thread of a single note sustained by the bassoon carries the concerto to the andante, a song rich in warm sentiment and endearing elegance. This slow movement center section is distinguished by its rustling accompaniment and bittersweet minor mode melody. A dozen measures of chordal writing for strings link this movement with the finale, an effervescent sonata form that trips along with the distinctive aerial grace of which Mendelssohn was the undisputed master. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: a solo violin, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, timpani, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform the Symphony No. 6 in F Major, Opus 68, The Pastoral Symphony, by Ludwig von Beethoven. Beethoven was born December 16, 1770, in Bonn, Germany, and he died March 6, 1827, in Vienna. The symphony was composed in 1807 and 1808. The first performance, December 22, 1808, in Vienna, conducted by Beethoven himself. Now, here is the overview. Beethoven gave each of the five movements of his pastoral symphony a title describing its general character. The first movement, filled with verdant sweetness and effusive good humor, is headed Awakening of Cheerful Feelings on Arriving in the Country. The violins present a simple theme that pauses briefly after only four measures, as though the composer were alighting from a coach and taking a deep breath of the fragrant air before beginning his walk along a shaded path. The melody grows more vigorous before it quiets to lead almost imperceptibly to the second theme, a descending motif played by violins above a rustling string accompaniment. Again, the spirits swell and then relax before the main theme returns to occupy most of the development. To conclude the first movement, the recapitulation returns the themes of the exposition in more richly orchestrated settings. The second movement, Seen by the Brook, continues the mood and undulant figuration of the preceding movement. The music of this movement is almost entirely without chromatic harmony and exudes an air of tranquility amid pleasing activity. The form is a sonata allegro whose opening theme starts with a fragmentary idea in the first violins, sounded above a rich accompaniment. The second theme begins with a descending motion, like that of the first movement, but then turns back upward to form an inverted arch. A full development section utilizing the main theme follows. The recapitulation recalls the earlier themes with enriched orchestration and leads to a most remarkable coda. The rustling accompaniment ceases while all nature seems to hold its breath to listen to the songs of three birds, the nightingale, the dove, and the cuckoo. Twice this tiny avian concert is performed before the movement comes quietly to its close. When later Romantic composers sought stylistic and formal models for their works, it was to Beethoven that they turned. And when program music, music based on a narrative, was the subject, this coda was their object. Beethoven titled the scherzo Merry Assembly of Country Folk and filled the music with rustic bumptiousness and simple humor that recall a hearty, if somewhat ungainly, country dance. The central trio shifts to duple meter for a stomping dance before the scherzo returns. The festivity is halted in mid-step by the sound of distant thunder portrayed by the rumblings of the low strings. Beethoven built a convincing storm scene here through the tempestuous use of the tonal and timbral resources of the orchestra, standing in bold contrast to the surrounding movements of this symphony. As the storm passes away over the horizon, the silvery voice of the flute leads directly into the finale. Shepherd song, happy, grateful feelings after the storm. The clarinet and then the horn sing the unpretentious melody of the shepherd, which returns rondo fashion to support the form of the movement. The mood of well-being and contented satisfaction continues to the end of this wonderful work. The instrumentation for Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony, the Sixth Symphony, is as follows. Piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, two trombones, timpani, and strings. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the entire 2017 and 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.